Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel. We are in chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. This is God's Word. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This is a story we need to learn from whatever the season. We don't just talk about these truths at Christmas time. But there are a number of things that we sort of have from growing up in churches where they had pageants or seeing TV shows or creches in a Christmas store or what have you, that if you pay attention to the text, you'll see that a lot of the imagery got it wrong. Christmas is the time of year when we celebrate Jesus' birth. But as we said last time, we need to be celebrating the birth of Christ, the miracle of the incarnation, all year long. And here you have the story of the wise men. How many wise men were there?
Three.
Nothing in the text says that. It lists three different kinds of gifts. We know it was more than one because it speaks of them in the plural, but we don't know if it was three or four or five. We don't know. We just know that three gifts that they brought are mentioned. But the biggest surprise for many people is when they picture the birth of Jesus, they picture a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, and here come the shepherds, and they find the baby, and they worship him, and then, lo and behold, here come three guys with at least one camel. And they, too, are there to worship, and they present their gifts, and it's all lovely, and then we all stand and sing Silent Night. But that's not what happened, is it? By the time the wise men show up, we're not talking about a baby in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. We're talking about a child who's living in a house with his parents. Huh. Well, that doesn't fit. Now, people will talk about they're coming from Persia. I have a friend who is utterly convinced that they came from China or even Korea. I don't know where they came from. India? You know. Don't know. Just know it was east. They were wise men from the east. Well, there's a lot that's to the east of Israel. And it took these fellows a while to get there because the timing was such that when Herod realized the Magi weren't going to come back and tell him exactly where the child was, he decided to kill all the children, all the male children, 2 years of age and younger. So he knew that the child was somewhere between birth and 2 years of age. So apparently it had taken a while for the Magi to arrive. And that's why the word used to describe a baby is not the word used to describe Jesus at this point. He was a child. If that spoils your Christmas, you are messed up. Because what it should do is remind you that much more beautifully of the fact that we're not talking about a myth. We're not talking about a sled and reindeer flying through the sky and a fat man who can still squeeze down a chimney. That's not what we celebrate. We celebrate the truth of God Almighty becoming one of us and being born of a virgin and growing up in a hostile environment. Now look again at some of the details here. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." King Herod said, "I don't believe in that stuff. I've never heard of such a thing. He's not my child, so how could he possibly be born to be king?" He didn't say that. Herod knew. He was a wicked man, but he knew that there is a God and that God had spoken of what he would do one day to provide the Messiah, to provide the Christ. And so he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, and he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written." Prophet Micah talked about where Messiah would be born. And so it wasn't a mystery. It wasn't like, gee, we have no idea. God had already said what was going to happen. And guess what? When God says something is going to happen, it happens. God makes sure that it happens. So, Herod called the Magi secretly. He said, listen, I'd like to worship him too. After you find him, come tell me where he is so that I can worship him too. Now, I want to ask you a question. Was Herod's problem, he didn't want to worship him, you know that, he wanted to kill him. Was his problem that he didn't believe in the scriptures about a Messiah being born? Was it that he didn't take the wise men seriously as far as seeing a star, a sign in the heavens, that God was doing something unprecedented in human history? His problem wasn't that he didn't believe those things. His problem was hostility toward God. And so he believed that the Messiah had been born. And he was so hostile toward God and so arrogant that he was going to try and thwart the plan of God. So he asks the wise men if they would tell him where to find the child. Come back here and tell me. We see a major difference between Joseph's response to the king, Jesus, because Jesus is the king. Messiah means anointed one. That's what Christ is based on, Messiah. Messiah means anointed one. That's who Jesus is. He's the one God has anointed as king. And Joseph's response to him is to embrace him, honor him, and obey the word of the Lord. The Magi's response to him is worship. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. Herod's response to him is hostility. The Bible says in Philippians that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, the reason it says that is because every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible says that's going to happen because it's going to happen. Even those who are hostile are going to have to bow to Jesus because he's Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. At the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus is going to commission the apostles saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples. We do not go out into the world to make disciples in the hopes that if enough people get converted, we can install Jesus as king. He is king. Jesus Christ is Lord. Forever. And so if you come in and say, I just want you to know I'm voting against you, you haven't in any way undermined his authority. You have just proved yourself a bad bozo. It is a foolish thing. It is a wicked thing, and it only pays off in eternal death. If you don't like the fact that Jesus is Lord, tough darts, keep chewing. You don't get to vote on whether or not he's going to be Lord. You get to decide whether you're going to receive his forgiveness and his mercy, because all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone, into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, look at Joseph's example first. Joseph received the word with obedient faith, and immediately did what the angel of the Lord told him, even when it was costly. In other words, he married a woman who was already expecting a child, and he wasn't the father. And as we said last time, that was going to cause people to think either that he had been immoral or that he was an idiot. Okay? Joseph, we're not sure if you're lying to us or if you're just so naive that you believe this young lady. But, but if you're not the father of that child, you've made a big mistake here. Well, it would have been a huge mistake if it weren't for the fact that it was true and that God had told him it was true. So go ahead and do it. And so he obeyed. And now he's asleep. He's just had foreign visitors, and they brought a bunch of really good stuff, including gold. Okay? Gold and frankincense and myrrh. This was a good day. He goes to bed, goes to sleep. And during the night, the angel of the Lord wakes him up and says, get up and get out of town right now. Joseph gets up and he goes in and he gets Mary and the child and says, we got to go. Go where? Egypt. What? They left in the middle of the night. Imagine if you were one of their friends and the next morning they're just gone. You know? I mean, what happened? They're just gone. So, they obeyed even when it was costly. And after they'd been in Egypt a while, when Herod dies, the Lord says, go back to Israel now. Oh, okay. He didn't negotiate. He obeyed. Folks, that's an example of how we're supposed to live. Immediate obedience, even when it's costly, even when people won't understand. Obey the Lord. Herod believed the word of the Lord intellectually, but he rebelled with deadly results. He rebelled against the word of the Lord, not because he didn't believe it was true, but because he didn't want to do what it demands. Now we look at Herod and we think, how in the world could anybody be so wicked as to call for the slaughter of little children? Brothers and sisters, we're living in a country that slaughters little children all the time. Millions of them. Millions of them. And right now, the President of the United States has, with the Justice Department, the Department of Justice of the United States, not only criticized, but tried to go to court to stop a law in Texas that has recently been put in place that is trying to stop abortions from the time that a baby's heart starts beating. Because you see, the child inside the mommy's tummy has its own unique DNA, has its own heartbeat. It's not beating the same time as the mom's, has its own heartbeat. That little child is a person, and it's alive. Are we going to say that people whose hearts are beating are not necessarily alive? That's one of the key indicators, according to the Harvard criterion for whether or not someone's alive, is does the heart beat on its own? Well, but see, it's entirely dependent on its mother. That will be true after it's born, and someday it's likely to be true of the mother, dependent on others for survival. So we're living in a culture that believes it is vital for us to protect the right of people to kill people as long as those people are little. And I'm telling you, that is an abomination to God. Well, what should we do? We need to be like Joseph. Joseph was living in a place where the ruler was a bad guy. And he didn't say, I'm going to go get Herod. Man, I'm threatening my son? No way, I'm going. No. He did what the Lord told him. And what the Lord told him was, go to Egypt. I'm thankful the Lord hasn't sent me to Egypt. But you and I need to respond to this wicked world by saying, God, what would you have me do? And then whatever he tells us, do it. Because God has put us in this wicked world to be his ambassadors. But there's another group of characters here. And we need to look at how they responded to what God showed them. And that was the wise men, the magi. Well, what did they do? Well, when they saw the message God had given them in the sky, they correctly interpreted it as being a signal that the Jews had a new king. A new king had been born. And so they came, verse 2, to worship him. To worship him. They didn't come just to check him out or see if they could do a deal. They came to worship him. You know the right response to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Worship. And one of the descriptions of how they worshiped, verse 10, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. King James says, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Would anybody ever accuse you of that? God grant that that would be a description of us, because the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The Lord causes us to rejoice at what he's doing. God is at work in this broken world where people are hostile toward him and terrible things are happening. God is at work and he's bringing salvation to those who were his enemies. That includes us. And so our response when we encounter him should be one of absolute joy, overjoyed. When they saw the child with his mother Mary, they bowed down. We need to get physical. Yes, I want you to know that I am so happy that God has delivered me from death and promised me eternal life that sometimes it makes me smile. Is that an appropriate response? When I travel on a trip and I come back and I see my wife, I say, hello, Mrs. Wood, I am very glad to be back in your presence. You think? Of course not. We hug and we go like this and we kiss. And our kids, when they were little, knew not to go, ew. Because they appreciated the fact that mom and dad really, really love each other. And you and I should be absolutely unashamed to be overjoyed. You and I deserve hell, and God chose to pay the penalty for our sin and give us heaven. Well, that is nice. Oh, come on, get happy. They bowed down and worshiped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of frankincense and myrrh. And then, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they obeyed the word of the Lord and went back by another route. Folks, again, the ultimate expression of true worship is obedience. Do what God says. That's worship.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.